Let's study the scriptures together. So we don't have much time. We have only 5 hours together. So let's compress everything. So I'm joking for sure. We have not so much time. So today's Torah portion is very interesting Torah portion, very deep Torah portion. Parshat Bo. Exodus chapter 10 through chapter 13, verse 16. Very deep and important Torah portion for all of us. This chapter from the Torah can be called the good news from Moses. If you will say it in Greek, it will be like Gospel of Moses. Good news from Moses. It's really good news. It is difficult Torah portion, a lot of things going on there, but it is good news for everyone who was obedient to the Lord. So this chapter provides a complete picture of the future redemption as an obvious foreshadowing of the coming Messiah and his sacrifice. Specifically chapter 11, it is so important, and chapter 12, it is about coming of Messiah, coming of future Messiah. So let's read a few verses from this chapter. It is Exodus chapter 12, and let's read verse 5, and we will read carefully through a couple of verses here. So, verse 5, and we know this is an important moment in the history of Israel, very important. It's right before great Exodus from the slavery, from Egypt. Right before this, a holy night, a very potent night before. And this is the commandment from the Lord. The Lord is given to Moses and to all people of Israel. It's very important to remember. Your lamp is to be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You must watch over it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to slaughter it at twilight. They are to take the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the crossbeam of the houses where they will eat it. So, very important picture here. Take the blood of this special animal, this sacrificial animal, this lamb or this goat, one year old, and put his blood on the crossbeam on your houses and stay in these houses. Be there. This is very important night for you. Be obedient for the Lord. It's very important part. So verse 12. Let's continue with from verse 12. Why? Why to do that? What's the reason to put the blood on the doorposts of your house? It is an important reason we need to remember. It is a question of death or life. It is not choice. It is a question for life and death, literally. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will execute judgments against all the gods of Egypt. I am Adonai. Verse 13. This is the reason why to put this blood. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Passover. Pesach. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So there will be no plague among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Blood of protection, covered by the blood of the Lamb. Such a good news for all of us today. Covered by the blood of the Lamb. And for them, specifically for them, at that moment, at that time, It was difficult night for the Jewish people, but this was the only way of salvation for them. What a prophetic picture for all of us. We see that the salvation and deliverance of the entire people of Israel, entire people of Israel, everyone who were obedient to the Lord. And those from other people groups who decided to join the faith of the Jewish people came only through the sacrifice and the atoning blood of the post, on the posts of the doors where they were. It is so important to remember. So, I mean, you can have your opinion. It's up to you. You're free to have any opinion. But the only way of salvation was to put blood of sacrificial animal on the doorposts of your house. This was the only way, provided by the Lord. Let's say together, provided by the Lord. We live in a free country. We have so many opinions about many things. Yes. But what's interesting that the Lord's opinion is matter. And specifically on that night, night of Exodus from the slavery to the freedom. Outside of the blood was a great sorrow. Death reigned there. No salvation outside of the blood. Because all the firstborn of Egypt were killed by the angel of death. And we know this story. Chapter 12, chapter 13, and we know later what happened there. What is very important to see in this place, in chapter 12, it is very important for us to grasp it, to remember, is that no matter who you were, it was no matter, a Jew or an Egyptian, a slave or a Pharaoh, no matter how religious or not you were, the only place of salvation and safety was in the house that was protected by the sacrificial blood. The only place. Nothing else mattered. The blood of the Lamb was matter. This was a condition that the Lord Himself determined, and it was the only way of salvation. Let's say together, the only way of salvation. That is so important. And we know in the scriptures, without blood is no forgiveness of sin. Without blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And here we have blood of the Lamb, and we have forgiveness. We have mercy. We have protection of the Lord. You can ask me why. My opinion, I think that the Lord showed the coming great redemption on the second Passover, which was much greater than the first one. It was a prophetic picture of the coming Messiah. The Messiah must come, and only through the blood of the perfect sacrifice is there salvation and the opportunity to accomplish the great Exodus. Only through the blood of Messiah. Only through the blood of the perfect sacrifice. That sacrifice in chapter 12 was the only prophetic picture of coming sacrifice. Sacrifice of Messiah. The first Passover is the exodus of the Jewish people from Egyptian slavery and the birth of Israel as a people with its own structure, laws, and self-determination. That was the first exodus. The very important exodus. It was a great exodus. The second Passover, the exodus from the most terrible slavery, the most terrible slavery. Slavery of sin and death, and the birth of a new people, people group, children of God. Mazel tov, children of God. I'm so happy that you are here. It is only because of the blood of Messiah. It is so important. It was the birth of the new people, children of God, who through accepting the sacrifice of the Messiah, become a new creatures, free from eternal death and fear, because of the Messiah. During the first Passover, more than 2 million Jews and those from other people groups left Egypt. You know, when we read that Jewish people left Egypt, we need to understand that many people from many nations of Egypt became part of Jewish people and left with the Jewish people because it was the open door of salvation for everyone in Egypt. The Lord He cared about everyone in Egypt. And He cares today about everyone. It's very important to remember. So that during the first Pesach, more than 2 million Jews and those from other people groups left Egypt. And the second Pesach brought deliverance to millions of people all over the earth. The second Pesach, the second Passover, the great Passover. The first Pesach took place once in Egypt. It was once in the history of Israel. The second began more than 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem and continues to this very day. So we are still in Pesach today. We are going through the wilderness of our lives because of Yeshua the Messiah. And door is open today for everyone who wants to do this Pesach, to go out of slavery, to come to the Lord, to be united with the Lord in His freedom, in His Spirit. You remember, where is the Spirit of the Lord? There is freedom. There's freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from death, and the very important, freedom from fear of death. Please remember that. How much greater the second Exodus is. The first was great, and the second even more greater. One of the greatest prophets of Israel, we know him as John the Baptist. Actually, he was John Yohanan the Mercer. It was way before any type of church was born on this earth. So never confuse John the Baptist with Pentecostal movement, please. He was a Mercer. He immersed people in the Jordan. Please remember that. So he was called the greatest prophet by Yeshua the Messiah. And if Messiah said he is the greatest prophet, better to believe him. He was the greatest prophet. So when Yohanan the Immerser, when he saw Yeshua come into Jordan, he proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Look at him. Behold, be careful. Look at him. He is the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world. It was so important moment in the life of Israel. Because every Jew at that time, every one of them, who prayed for the coming of the Messiah and longed for a spiritual awakening, everyone understood the words of Yohanan. Everyone understood that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. It was obvious for the Jewish people at that moment, at that time, that a Redeemer must come who will bring healing to this world broken by sin. And when Yohanan proclaimed, "Here is the Lamb of God," everybody understood about Passover time, time of freedom from death through the blood of the Lamb. This is Tikkun Olam, the repair of the world. And without the Messiah, it is impossible. I mean, you can try to repair this world. You can try hard. But without the Messiah, it is impossible. Only He is the healer of our hearts. The great rabbi of the first century, Shaul, we know him as Apostle Paul. He wrote about the coming Messiah. It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. He said, "Our Passover lamb has been sacrificed." Our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Yeshua the Messiah, our Passover lamb. I would like to draw our attention to an important lesson from the chapter of the Torah. And this really, I believe the Lord showed me when I read it carefully, studied this chapter. Please take it to your heart and think about this lesson from Torah portion. Very important statement. Our expectations and our trust are in God only. What do you mean by that? I mean, it is beautiful, but how to do that? So I would like to bring some example from the scriptures. The sons of Israel prayed for deliverance, and they prayed hard from bondage and freedom from Egypt. They prayed hard. They prayed. They cried to the Lord. It was in their hearts. It was difficult for them to be in Egypt. We know this story. But you know what happened later? When the answer came, it was not what they expected. They prayed. They believed, they trust the Lord. But when answer came, it was different what they expected. They were waiting for a deliverer who would bring freedom into Egypt. They prayed for somebody like Joseph who will change everything. And they would live again in the prosperity, but Moses came instead of Joseph. 80 years old, young man, full of energy, who led them in a different direction than their dream, who took them into a beautiful place of wilderness, full of sand and other beautiful things there. And we can see in the scriptures, in the chapter 10, 11, 12, and later, that the more miracles and judgments were performed through Moses in Egypt, the more the heart of Pharaoh became hardened, and the more difficult it became for the children of Israel. More difficult. Every miracle, more difficult. Because Pharaoh poured all his anger and cruelty on them. He paid back to Jewish people. And even then they left Egypt. They did not go immediately into the promised land, but they went into the wilderness for 40 years. I mean, think about 40 years. Very short period of time, yeah, 40 years. I mean, I agree 1 day, 2 days. Let's do 40 days, okay? 40 months, it's already too much, but 40 years. Oh, it's a... Okay, I don't want to go into my humor here. Let's stop here. I have a lot to say, but I would like to stop here. So, very important. I would like to read what happened with their expectations and their faith right after they left Egypt. It's very important to notice these small things. It's Exodus chapter 15, the day after they left Egypt. And you remember, do you remember 10 plagues, a lot of... miracles happened. And the last one, when Moses came to the Red Sea and he started crying to the Lord, "Lord, help us. You led us out of Egypt. Now we have Pharaoh, he behind us with his armies. What we're going to do, Lord? Show your miracle." And the Lord told him, "Why are you crying to me? You have staff? Go ahead. You will see my victory. Go ahead." So after that, I mean, I believe it is a great miracle. What do you think? Red Sea departed. I mean, it would be a great miracle for me if this lake would departed for me. It would be enough for me. But they saw whole sea departed and opened before them. It was a great miracle. And of course, the next day, Exodus chapter 15, verse 19. "Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the tambourine in her hand. And all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing. As Miriam said to them, 'Sing to Adonai, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea.'" Can you imagine this worship time? A couple millions of people are worshiping to the Lord. And especially all the women in Israel. It was loud. It was great. It was a miracle. Worship time. Why? Because they experienced the great salvation from the army of Pharaoh. They were free. Eventually, they were free from the slavery. They prayed for so long for freedom. And now they are free. What to do next? Verse 22, then Moses led Israel onward from the Sea of Reeds. So life is continuous. The next day, the next time, after the great salvation, they went out into the wilderness of Shur, but they traveled 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. 3 days. It took them 3 days. 3 days ago, sea departed. I mean, so many miracles happened there. Now, 3 days later, no water. It's a huge problem. What to do? Of course, blame Moses. Where to find answer? Moses, come here. We want to tell you something. Verse 23, when they came to Marah, they could not drink from the waters because they were bitter. On account of this, it was called Marah. It was bitter, bitter water. So the people complained to Moses, saying, what are we going to drink? Complained. It was not a prayer, it was not a faith, it was not a trust, it was complaint. And now on, for 40 years, it was almost the same. The first part, verse 20, 21, was great. Worship and praise to the Lord for all His miracles and His salvation. But the second part, in 3 days, songs and dances across the Red Sea turned into tears and rebellion in the desert. And it continues for 40 years. Why? One of the reasons, because it's many reasons, but one of the reasons, because God's plan and His answer did not fit with their expectations. It was different. They were expecting one thing. The Lord led them through difficult path and way, different path. Let's now see what happened much later in the history of our people. Much later, after Moses. The same picture, the same thing happened. We know that our people prayed for the coming of the Messiah and salvation for all mankind for centuries. And specifically on Sukkot 70 sacrifice, which means all the nations of the world. It was the prayer for all the nations of the world. So they prayed for Messiah. They were asking Messiah to come. They were filled with this expectation for Messiah to come. They prayed to the Lord. But when He came, when Messiah came, many of them did not recognize Him. Yeshua did not correspond to their ideas and therefore was rejected by many Jewish people because He was different from their expectations. I would like to read from John chapter 1, verse 10 through 14. It's about Yeshua the Messiah. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. Through Him. But the world did not know Him. He came to His own, to the Jewish people. But His own did not receive Him. Verse 12. But whoever did receive Him, those trusting in His name, to these He gave the right to become children of God. The great Exodus. They were born not of a bloodline, nor of human desire, but of not nor of man's will, but of God. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We looked upon His glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeshua the Messiah. The Jewish people at that time, they expected Messiah as a king. They prayed that Messiah will be the king, son of David, who will conquer Rome and bring a freedom and prosperity to the Jewish people at that time. They prayed for the king, for the warrior. But the first time Messiah came as a Lamb of God. As a Lamb of God. As a son of Joseph from Isaiah chapter 53. This is why Yohanan, when he saw him, he said, here's the Lamb of God. Here's the Lamb of God. who took our sins upon himself and who led us out of our spiritual slavery. So, what an important lesson for us. I would like to take you, keep your attention. So we pray, we hope, we expect answers from God. But sometimes, I would say sometimes, for somebody it's more often, for somebody it's less often, but sometimes, the answer might be not what we expected it to be. It can be a different answer, but from the Lord. And we need to be humble enough to receive what the Lord is prepared for us. It's a very important lesson. Our expectations in following God may not be entirely correct. Remember the lessons of the Exodus. Going out of Egypt was not an easy task. It wasn't an easy task. Crossing the desert was very hard work for 40 years. It was difficult. Remember the lesson from the first centuries. Believers in the Messiah who lived in the first centuries experienced the most severe persecution and trials in their lives. It was a hard job to be a believer. But does this mean that God was not with them? Of course not. The Lord was with them. The Lord was there every day of their journey. I know one truth, and I want to share with you. Do not tell anyone, please. This is the secret. Keep it here. Our life is a long path, often filled with trials in our trust in God. But the Lord, through Yeshua, promises to be with us always, and especially in the valley of the shadow of death, as it's written in Psalm 23. Do you remember this? Verse 4. Very specific psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. You are with me. So the Lord does not say that we can avoid the valley of the shadow of death, but He promises to be our support and not leave us alone during our journey. All the time, He is with us in the good times of our lives and in difficult times. We need to keep trust in Him. Keep trust in Him. Keep trust in Him. So, we have 3 more hours, yeah? Okay. I just want to mention one more thing and we will finish our time together. So, many thought that God left them. Many of the Jewish people in Egypt, they simply forgot about Him because it was hard for them. They prayed, but nothing happened. Someone began to think that the gods of Egypt were stronger than their own God, God of Israel. And they needed to become like the Egyptians if they would avoid difficulties, to assimilate with the Egyptians. It was their plan. But God's reality was the reality that most of the Israelites did not see. God had a wonderful plan for the people of Israel, and not only for them, but for all of humanity. It's very important to understand. So we need to understand that if we have difficulties in front of us, it doesn't mean that the Lord left us. He is with us. It is not an end. It is the only beginning. So I would like to stop here, and in the end, I would like to read for 4 small steps for us, very important, 3 actually steps to remember. When we pray, when we trust the Lord, first of all, we need to know, understand that we need to trust the Lord. Let's say together, trust the Lord. 1 John 5, verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world, and the victory that has overcome the world is this, our faith. Through faith, through trust, we overcome the world. The second part, rejoice and keep your peace. Let's say together, keep your peace. Nehemiah chapter 8. For today is kadosh to our Lord.